Number three.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Primetime Live.
Hi there, my name is Guru Nostra. I will be your host for the next 1 hour prime time edition of Terror Chat, Thinking Outside of the Box, bringing you tonight the paranormal. Do you have ghosts? Have you seen shadows? Do you sense a presence in areas of your world? We shall examine the possibilities of a dimensional shift and the paranormal. What goes bump in the night? And what indeed goes bump in the night? What exactly is involved? How do paranormal investigators reach their intended targets? How do they prove or disprove a paranormal event? Those questions and more, along with your questions and call-ins, in just a few minutes with the South Jersey Ghost Research Group.
TerraChat, Thinking Outside the Box, is an independent organization of like-minded individuals intent on bringing the truth to the mainstream media and society at large. TerraChat is not funded or incumbent upon any political, social, or organizational party. All statements or accreditations claimed by organizations or individuals participating in discussion do not necessarily validate information offered. TerraChat does not accept responsibility for accuracy, opinions, or statements made by our guests or hosts of TerraChat, Thinking Outside of the Box.
Scoured the internet for months looking for a group that would be able to help us and assist us with this special primetime show. We were given a tip from some friends of ours over at Fox, and they suggested we check out the South Jersey Ghost Research Group. So we did. And after checking their website, and we'll give you the website information in a little while, after checking their website and discussing matters with their PR director, it was obvious that these are the people that we had been looking for. So, ladies and gentlemen, in a few moments, we'll be back with our guests tonight from the South Jersey Ghost Research Group, three investigators trained to find out what goes bump in the night.
All information provided by TerraChat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agents. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements.
As we look through the sign of Aquarius, many believe this to be the forecoming of the cataclysmic events of 2012. In weeks to come, we shall be looking into the quatrains of Nostradamus, his visions, the meaning of his strange writings. We shall discuss events, current, past, and future, as we attempt to unwrap the mysteries behind the teachings of Nostradamus and his bad predictions.
If you are listening to this feed live and have found your way to TerraChat on blogtalkradio.com, we thank you and we welcome you. For those of you that are receiving this via a feed at a later date, www.blogtalkradio.com, TerraChat, Thinking Outside of the Box, come and join us, join up on the page, so you too can enter the virtual studio by clicking on chat. As a member, you will be transported into our virtual studio where you too can participate with our guests on air via our virtual studio type. So come on down, enjoy yourself in blogtalkradio.com. This is Guru Nostra on behalf of TerraChat, Thinking Outside of the Box. And now, on with the show.
Communication frequencies are now open. Area code 347, phone number 324-3287. Area code 347-324-3287. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, the voice of the Canadian Rockies, Guru Nostra.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Terror Chat Blog Talk Radio. My name is Guru Nosra, a.k.a. Colin Knight. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Prime time live in North America. We have some UK visitors joining us at the bottom of the hour in 25 minutes. I have with us tonight three fabulous investigators from the Southern South Jersey Ghost Research Group. Maureen is the director of PR, and I believe I have her on the line. Good evening, Maureen. How are you tonight?
Good evening. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you being able to make it tonight. I appreciate
it. Oh, thanks.
I appreciate
the opportunity to talk to your guests.
Well, it's absolutely excellent. As the preamble, the intro mentioned, your website has become almost a screensaver around here. And as we've been doing the research, getting ready to do the show. And I got to tell you, the more I look into the South Jersey Ghost Research Group, the more fascinating it becomes. You've had quite a few interesting events in your long history, have you not?
Yeah, that's pretty much an understatement. We're very active. We're a very active group. Probably one of the most active groups, especially along the East Coast of the United States.
Yeah, I couldn't help looking at the website and, you know, the accolades of the people that have interviewed you in the past are quite impressive, but also the archive of ongoing investigations and past investigations. It was like, I can't explain, it's better than reading a book.
And actually, we use the website to just, you know, put the information out there, to help and let other people know that you're not alone. So it's really just, you know, meant for information for people to get out there and see.
Well, there's a lot of information out there, too, and I got to tell you that I took a look at the video that you have on the right-hand page, and wow, now that's impressive. You know, that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up as you watch the progression of things that happen in an investigation. It's just, it blows me away. It truly does. It's such a strange feeling for a person that doesn't know that much about the paranormal to see the process that you people go through. Also with us tonight, I believe we have two other investigators, Rosalind and Eileen. Good evening, Rosalind. Eileen, how are you tonight?
Hello, how are you doing?
Excellent. Hi, good evening.
Hi. Who was the first one? That was
Rosalind. This is Rosalind.
Rosalind. And then there was Eileen.
And yes, Eileen.
There
nice
you
to
are.
Meet you.
No. Sorry, I got a double, a duplex carry there on the internet. So I heard both of you at the same time, which was excellent. But, you know, the old ears sometimes can't disseminate the information. So tell me, ladies, first of all, with you, Roz, what got you into the paranormal?
Well, I'm someone who's always had an interest in the paranormal. As a child, I would have premonitions, very accurate premonitions, so that actually sparked the interest. And then as an adult, one day I was just watching a local newscast, and I saw an investigation, or I saw a program, and they had an interview about South Jersey Ghost Research. And this was actually 10 years ago when I first found the group, or nearly 10 years ago. And back then, you know, it was the Internet was still not as prevalent as it is, and the information wasn't out there as much as it is today. So back then, I was just blown away. I had no idea that there were people doing this type of work, especially in my own backyard. So that was actually what first sparked my interest in the group.
Yeah, it's 10 years. That's quite a long time in the profession. I understand that you are a psychiatry nurse, correct?
Yes, I'm a former psychiatric nurse. Yes, I am.
That must give you experiences in yourself. You must have nerves of steel. You must. You just have to. I mean,
pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Go ahead.
No, I've gone the gamut of experiences, both in the paranormal side and just the human behavior side, so there's not a lot that shocks me today.
Right. Do you think that your experience as a psychiatric nurse, do you think that has helped you?
Absolutely. The main goal for our group is to help people. We're not necessarily out there to prove or disprove the existence of ghosts. Our main goal is to help the people that are living with the experiences. And so that's where my background actually comes into play, where I have a good way of speaking to and helping and just evaluating the people and their state of mind and what it's going to take to get them to a place where they can understand what's going on in their home and hopefully learn to coexist peacefully with whatever's going on.
And whether what's going on is real or imaginary,
mm-hmm.
to the person.
Absolutely.
It's no different in their mind whether they have ghosts, whether there is paranormal events, or whether they actually are requiring some other form of assistance.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and Eileen, I believe you are also with us. You are also another paranormal investigator.
Yes, I am.
And you have just completed, my understanding is you just completed Master of Reiki? Reiki?
Oh, yeah, I've been a Reiki master teacher since 2001, and I teach that, and I also, have clients that I, do sessions, Reiki sessions with
right.
as well.
Right. That must be exciting to be able to tie all of your teaching into something like the Southern New Jersey Ghost Research Group. It must be quite interesting going into an investigation with that.
It is. I have found that through energy work, it's kind of fine-tuned my ability to sense energies, and it actually has made me more intuitive over the years as well. So that it is a nice tie-in.
Yeah. I think the intuition is a big part of what goes on from the looks of the investigations that you people do. It certainly looks like you have to be right on the ball right at the start of your investigation.
That's very true.
Yeah, I was hoping that Mark could have been with us tonight, although I understand that he has previous commitments, but apparently Mark takes care of buildings and understanding the creaks and groans of urban life, and I think that would have been an interesting comment. I hope we can get him at a later date. So tell me, Maureen, according to the website, it says that you've been around since 1955. Now, surely there are not the users from 1955 still active in the group, are there?
No, actually, we don't have any members from 1955, but we do trace our roots back that far. And essentially, what that means to the members now is that it's all trial and error. Things that people have experienced earlier, they can pass that knowledge down to newer members. And now we know what works and what does not work. And we can bypass so much because now we know, like, oh, that doesn't work, so let's just go and try the things that we know
right.
are tried and true that have worked in the past. And actually, our group, it was formed in 1955 by a woman named Hildred Robinette, and that was called Ghost Hunters of America. And then in 1998, Ghost Hunters of America merged with two other groups, one of which was called Ghost, and our current director, Dave Giuliano, was the director of that group. And between these three groups coming together, it formed South Jersey Ghost Research, and that's what we've been dealing under as our official incorporated
yeah.
name since
Fabulous.
98.
Yeah. Well, you most certainly down in the New Jersey area, I'm quite sure with the history that's out there, there must be all kinds of stories that we can get to. And we'll get to those in just a few seconds. We're going to take a quick soft break, as they call it, which means that we're going to do a quick reset of the system.
All information provided in the TerraChat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agents. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, Terra Chat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements.
Do you have ghosts? Have you seen shadows? Do you sense a presence in areas of your world? We shall examine the possibilities of a dimensional shift and the paranormal in our premier show. What goes bump in the night?
Indeed, what does go bump in the night? We have with us tonight the South Jersey Ghost Research Group, three of the investigators from that group. The area of coverage for South Jersey Ghost Research, Maureen, if I'm correct, is Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania. Is that correct?
Actually, we covered the entire state of New Jersey, eastern Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New York City.
Holy Toledo, that's quite an area. No one can keep busy.
It keeps us busy.
Yeah, really. How many people rack up those miles. I bet you do. How many people do you averagely use on a team to investigate a paranormal event?
It really just depends on the size of the location. We generally have a team no smaller than four, and usually upwards. If we are investigating, let's say, a mansion or an indoor-outdoor location, we can have pretty much every investigator that's available to go.
And there's that much work for them to do when they get there? You know,
Yeah. We break up into smaller teams, and that way we can cover a greater amount of area in a shorter amount of time.
And by the looks of the investigation sheets that I've read on your website, it looks like you have you do various levels of investigation. Depending on what you find, you may move to the next higher level, like EVP or another form of investigation. Is that correct?
Actually, we pretty much conduct each investigation the same. All of our investigators go in with every piece of equipment that they have available. Most everyone uses digital cameras. Some people do carry 35-millimeter cameras with them. Nearly every investigator has some form of digital audio recorder. And the group provides other equipment, and some of us have duplicates of that equipment. We use electromagnetic field detectors. We use motion detectors. We use infrared thermometers. And we just spread our equipment out. We have camcorders to try to capture video.
Right.
And every investigation is looked at as that we are going to try to get the best evidence that we possibly can for all of our clients. It doesn't matter who they are or how large a location it is.
Right.
And any bit of information that we can get, we then provide to them in a formal report, and we give them each piece of evidence that we collect, whether it be positive photos, any audio, or any video clips.
Well, I tell you, I was very, very surprised, again, turning your website inside out. When I said your website became a screensaver around here, I had three different people tearing your website apart, looking for information to give the on-air mouth, me, the information, so I may sound like I know exactly what's going on here. And I can tell you that this station and this radio program is put together not by me, but I just end up showing up here and doing my bit. So, the tech staff are doing a wonderful job. But I noticed on your website that you people definitely are very clearly make sure everybody realizes that you are a non-profit tax-exempt organization.
Right.
You know,
that is very important for, we never ever charge for any of our services. And we feel that is so very important, because not only are there people that feel like they couldn't afford to have a paranormal investigative team come out to them, but the mere fact that if you are paying us to find evidence and we do not have that evidence, then it's a matter of credibility. If we give you a whole lot of evidence are you sure that it's because you paid us or because we actually found something?
I think so.
Take that completely out of the equation.
Yeah, as we were doing the research, as I mentioned in the preamble, looking for someone that we could speak to on a realistic level, without getting soaked on some information that we know is not true. And there was one gentleman we found, he was more than willing to discuss things on the radio, but he was looking for a fee. And the moment he was looking for a fee, I mean, he blew his whole credibility out of the water. Because the idea here is to bring the information to the people. And if they're having trouble with a paranormal event, the last thing you want to be is like an ambulance chaser, if you will.
Exactly.
And saying, well, for $500, we can make it go away.
Right, correct. You know?
And we have
come across groups like that.
Yeah.
And needless to say, we have a very poor opinion of them. Because when someone is in such fear and when you have children involved, what are you going to say? Well, I have the tools to help you out, but only if you can afford it. And that's really not fair.
Yeah. It does definitely make it difficult. And as I say, doing the research, my crew was telling me that there are so many charlatans out there. There are so many people out there for the wrong reasons claiming to do what you people do. And from what I have seen on your website, I am so impressed with your organization. I just cannot tell
you
enough. So ladies, while I have all the microphones open for all three of you, I'm going to throw this question out here. What was the scariest, I don't know if that's the right word, what is the most nerve-wracking investigation you've done in the last little while? Rosalyn, how about starting it off with you?
I think the most unnerving thing that I hit recently, first I want to say most times we go out, if you are frightened, it's not because there's something there that's necessarily scary, it's because you're startled, you know? So if you're down in a quiet, dark basement, and suddenly the furnace kicks on, you jump, you know? So 9 times out of 10, when we're frightened, it's more of a startle factor. But as far as something that actually I found to be frightening in the traditional sense, I recently was investigating the basement of a local Civil War museum. And I was down there with another investigator, and she and I were down one end of this basement. And from between us and the door, we suddenly heard this loud breathing. And there was no one else down there. And this breathing got progressively louder, and it continued for 2 solid minutes.
I tell you, if that would have been me, I think I would make a great investigator if I would be allowed to wear adult depends.
I'll tell you, it was scary, but because we've been doing this long enough, we know, first of all, it's not going to hurt you. Secondly, you're going to get great evidence. So while we were nervous, we were standing closer together than we usually were. We both had our EMF detectors out. We were taking pictures. We had the voice recorder. We were asking questions. I mean, we were really gathering evidence while we were still, you know, the knees were knocking just a little bit. Like I said, there was nothing there to hurt us. The breathing ended after 2 solid minutes that seemed to feel like 20 minutes, and we were able to proceed to the door. So
I can imagine.
Yeah.
2 minutes would seem like hours under those conditions.
Exactly.
You must have been running. Eileen, how about yourself? Was there any investigation that you did that kind of gave you a little shake on the inside?
Yes, there was actually. I'm listening to Roz, and I'm recalling a moment in a basement as well. It was a private home, and here in New Jersey, and you know, basements can be creepy anyway. But when we investigate in the pitch dark, and luckily we're always with someone. We are never alone. I know that on some TV shows you'll see investigators going off on their own, but we never do that. For obvious reasons.
No. In fact, I'm even questioning whether I'd go there without a gun or something.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because in this particular instance, I was in a basement, and we actually could see and hear and feel a male spirit coming closer and closer, and he put his face in my face to intimidate me. But
wow.
Yeah, and that was unnerving. But, you know, those are the golden moments. Those are the, like Roz said, that's when we have our cameras out, and that's when I'm turning on my recorder to do EVP work. And it's almost like that, what soldiers talk about, being in it, when there is fear, but your training takes over.
I can understand. Yeah, I can understand.
Right.
But
yeah.
I have to tell you, ladies, like, you are the fairer sex, and you're supposed to be at home baking cookies. Here you are chasing ghosts around in basements, and, you know, there are males out there that you couldn't get off the couch if The Idol was on or whatever other show they were on. It truly does. And, no, my hat definitely goes off to you. We are coming up to a hard break at the bottom of the hour to bring on the BBS.com network from England. But we have 3 minutes remaining. So let me ask you this, Maureen. Was there a point in time that you kind of questioned what the heck you were doing there?
To be honest, I've never experienced that. And like Roz and Eileen have said, we go through months of training. And it seems pretty intensive sometimes. And that's the reason for it. That when you are put into a situation where suddenly you are experiencing paranormal activity, and not all of our members come from having personal experiences before they join the group,
right.
So this may be like your first experience with an actual paranormal event, and it startles you. It really does the first time it happens, but then your training kicks in. It's like this little switch goes off in your head, and you're like, I need to turn on my audio. I need to be taking pictures. Let me, you know, get out my EMF meters and stuff. And
so,
it really does, like, override any
feelings they get. So as Eileen was saying, you kind of have this automatic response that you've been trained to fulfill.
Exactly.
Ladies, have there been any situations that have caused you a little bit of concern for your safety?
Not for me, no.
No.
I can't recall. I think because of the training and the tight group, the tight relationships and group atmosphere that we work hard to create and keep,
right.
I don't think I've ever been in that situation because we rely on each other so much.
Yeah,
it's a team
effort all the way.
Right.
So that the building blocks of the investigation is actually the team. So I can relate to that. I haven't been involved with anything regarding the paranormal, but as far as team concepts concerned, with the military and otherwise, there is always that piece of the puzzle that without the team, I think, you know, could probably fall apart pretty quickly. I know in your particular work, my goodness, if I didn't have a team around me, who's gonna bring me out of the coma? I would have people watching my face to see what shade of white I had turned before.
Well, I know that feeling.
It's amazing. You ladies are very, very brave, and we will be back in just a few minutes as we take the hard break at the bottom of the hour. We will be welcoming BBS.com from our UK affiliation online. And
do you have ghosts? Have you seen shadows? Do you sense a presence in the area of your world? We shall examine the possibilities of a dimensional shift and the paranormal in our premiere show. What goes bump in the night?
And good evening to our UK guests that are coming online from BBS.com. It's good to have you all here. Let's get the legalities out of the way for those of you that are just joining our system.
All information provided in the Terror Chat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agents. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements.
As we look through the sign of Aquarius, many believe this to be the forecoming of the low-end scale of the cataclysmic events of 2012. In weeks to come, we shall be looking into the quatrains in Nostradamus, his visions, the meaning of his strange writings. We shall discuss events, current, past, and future, as we attempt to unwrap the mysteries behind the teachings of Nostradamus and his dramatic predictions.
This is Terror Chat.
This is Terror Chat, and I am your host, Guru Nostra. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, at the bottom of the hour. It's good to have everybody online. UK just joining us. They're taking some time loading up, but it looks like they're going to be around for a while. We remind you that the guest call-in numbers are open. If you have any questions to our guests, by all means, give a call, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. And, of course, if you do not have long distance or weekends and evenings free, you can always come down to blogtalkradio.com, come to the Terror Chat page and click chat, and you will be transported into our virtual studio where you, too, can ask questions via type to our guests. We have with us tonight the South Jersey Ghost Research Group. Maureen, Roslyn, and Eileen are on the line with us. These are professional trained investigators with the group, and we are discussing what goes bump in the night. And ladies, how bad is it out there? How many calls a month do you think, if you had the amount of investigators you would like, how many calls a month could you handle?
Oh, my gosh. We're pretty swamped as it is. I think we do at least two investigations a week, at least.
How many of the calls are, would you say, were legitimate paranormal events?
Well, actually, it's more common than people realize. People on your block are probably having a paranormal experience. It's just no one talks about it. However, the new shows that are on TV now seem to be creating more calls for us. And some are more interested than actually having a paranormal experience. But the shows have served to help people not be afraid to reach out for help.
Yeah, I think the shows definitely are opening people's eyes as to things that they've just accepted as part of their existence. I think they've become more curious.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes we have to weed out those who are merely curious because our goal is really, we're as researchers and basically helping people, we do have to be sure that our time and services as volunteers are really geared to helping those who are having legitimate experiences. And we do have ways to screen that as well.
Right, right.
One thing I would also like to add about that is that even though the TV shows have made it easier for people to reach out, we also feel that when people go through the process of contacting us and filling out the questionnaire and then meeting with investigators for what we call a prelim meeting, a preliminary visit, by the time they get to that point and then we have to schedule an investigation, if they're not really serious about it, usually they sort of drop it.
Right.
And
yeah.
We have found that the people that really go the distance are the people that are genuinely frightened and need our help.
Mm-hmm. I could see that the impulse, much like impulse shopping. I'm sure you would get that crazy call at 3 o'clock in the morning.
we do. Sometimes we do.
That somebody may have had a few scotches too many. And thank goodness you don't have a 24-hour helpline. Otherwise, you'd be on the world's funniest bloopers or something. I'm sure there would be some crank calls out there that would, would definitely.
Well, actually, we do have an emergency phone, but luckily, none of the three of us have it at this time.
<It's probably laughs>
it gets passed around to each member month to month.
Probably, It's probably just as well, because when this show ends, I'll tell you, every light in my place is going on. And if there's creaks and groans in my building after this show, I may need the emergency line. So, but I doubt very much that your hand will extend into Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where yours truly is actually sitting tonight. But the paranormal, as I say, it fascinates me. There is something there without doubt in my mind. And how you quantify it is miraculous. I've read some of the reports on your website, and I'm very, very impressed. Very impressed indeed. It is a testament, I think, to what you ladies do in your work and what you do for your area. I think is wonderful. And looking at some of those investigations, they are not the easy ones to do. I mean, we're not talking about Johnny Smith running in the basement as a ghost. There are some pretty heavily involved investigations that you people have done in the last little while.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. We had taken on cases that probably people who, a lot of groups have started out because of the great interest now that's become more mainstream, and a lot of them have very good intentions. However, we take things very seriously, and some of the cases are in need of experienced investigators. And I would agree with what you just said.
Yeah, it's difficult, to grasp exactly a paranormal event, but as I say, looking at the photographs and the video that's on your site, it definitely gives a person a better understanding of what goes bump in the night, if you will. Now, in the teaser that we've been running, it says that that we will investigate the dimensional shifts in paranormal investigation. And that came from one of our techies that said, well, it's possible that there's a rift in time and that these disembodied people are kind of caught in this rift in time. Would you agree with something like that?
I don't know about Roz and Maureen. I do think that spirits do reside in a different dimension.
Right.
It's almost as if I liken it to being in another room. I believe that spirits are always around us. It's just they're on a different vibrational wavelength that most people aren't able to see or feel or hear, but then some people can.
Right.
Or they can reach out.
So they are sharing the same time and space as us.
I do believe that dimensional, as your tech put it, dimensional shifts have played some part in it, although I don't think we quite know what that is yet, and that's part of our research, to find out exactly what's going on.
Well, there is definitely something out there. I have to tell you, I was very fortunate to join the British military some years ago. And I served 20-some years with them. And while I was away, now this may just be psychosomatic, I'm not sure, but each mission that I went on, there was a point in time where I swore I could smell my mother's perfume.
Wow.
And my mother had been deceased for some time.
That's actually a very common and very subtle way that spirits tend to contact the living.
Yeah.
By just a familiar smell or an out-of-place smell, and it's something that most people overlook.
And it always seemed to be at a time, at a low point,
mm-hmm.
Where I was probably questioning what on earth was I doing there kind of thing,
it's so true what Maureen just said, that, it's very common, and most people, I think, are looking for that Hollywood special effect to come in and let them know a spirit is around, when in most cases they do things like what you experienced, your mother's perfume, to comfort you, or,
It's much more subtle than TV and movies would have you believe.
So what you're telling me is you don't carry the Ghostbuster vapor packs.
You're not
demons at the top of buildings and.
We hope to one day.
So, you know, you're in the right place. New York City, if there's demons, they're definitely there, that's for sure. So I understand that you've handled some historical monuments and buildings. That must be interesting to touch the history of a building, because that's basically what you are doing.
Let me just say one other thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but one thing that I think is very important that we didn't really touch on is that when our team goes out, none of the investigators except for the team leader knows any of the history or the events, the paranormal events that are being reported at a location. And again, that's for credibility.
So,
and this also... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead, sorry.
This also is just as important... For a historical location, we might have heard of, you know, a certain building or a certain place, and we know that it was owned by, you know, this famous person in history, but there are many other people that live or have lived on the land or in the buildings, maybe worked there, and these people can leave their imprint as well. And
right.
This is why we never go in and do any research before we go in, because we feel that it might taint the information.
Right.
We don't want to make what we're getting fit the mold out there.
Contaminate, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And that is difficult, isn't it, to try and not go in there with a preconceived notion of what you're going to find.
That's true. It's important that we, you know, with today's internet, you can find out any information. We make a concerted effort not to do any research. And I think that in our group in particular, we have, the members seem to have a love of history. And we respect it. And what we'll do is when we go in, if several members are getting the same kind of information, or, you know, some of our members are intuitive, and then some are very technically oriented. So we have that great marriage between that, which I think makes us unique. But if some of us are picking up on the same things that the people that own or work in that historic place can confirm, it's so satisfying for everyone involved.
Yeah, it must be, especially when, you know, your findings tend to bolster either a legend or a story that has gone, you know, regarding the building or the events. It must be satisfying to actually have some tangible proof to say, you know, you guys are not nuts.
This is
what we have, and you know, and now once you've detected the paranormal, let's assume that you know, you come to the mansion and you find a ghost in my attic. Then what do we do?
Well, a lot of times the fear that the homeowners are having is from, number one, the unknown,
right,
not knowing whether or not something's there, and number two, they're wondering if they themselves are crazy. Is this really happening? You know, so just by coming in and getting the scientific evidence, that can often allay someone's fears. Now, there's no one that can make a spirit leave if there is a ghost in your attic. Ghosts have free will when they're dead, just as they did when they were living people. So we can't make them leave. But what we can do is try to educate you and to try to create a positive environment that may, if there is some maybe chaotic activity in the house, by creating a more positive energy level, we can actually sometimes lower that chaotic and make things peaceful and just make the homeowner able to coexist with the activity that's there.
Right. And most of this activity would be benign? It would be non-violent?
Yes. If something appears to be violent, it's a lot of times it's your perception. You know, if you say, well, the spirit knocked, you know, my drinking glass off the table and you think that's violent, that's not necessarily violent. Maybe they tried to get your attention more subtly, like you said, with your mother's perfume, and you didn't get the message. And then maybe they tried to make a little sound on the wall and you didn't hear that. So if they're trying to get your attention, which is generally what the spirits are doing, they want to be acknowledged. And if you're not acknowledging them, they may do something that you perceive to be violent, but it really isn't. It's just them taking it to the next level to try to get your attention.
It's right, just more obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Ladies, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
This is Terror Chat. In the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
And who will you be tonight? That's one of the upcoming shows that we have on the slate. And Who Will You Be Tonight will be a psychological look at the addictions of the beautiful world of Internet.
There is nothing wrong with your Internet connection.
There is nothing wrong with your software.
This is Terror Chat, thinking outside the box. Area code 347. Phone number 324-3287. Area code 347-324-3287. Would you like to be a guest on our show? Would you like to share some information? Contact GuruNostra@gmail.com.
GuruNostra@gmail.com. If anybody out there wants to participate in the show or would like to send the guru some email, try not to make it hate mail. We have a real hard time with that sometimes. There are some people out there that do not believe. And ladies, there must be some resistance to what you do at some times. Do you ever feel concerned for your safety at all?
I personally have never been on an investigation where I've felt threatened by the family or that they didn't want us there.
Right.
Again, usually by the time they go through the entire process of having us come out, that they are open to the fact that at least that there's something there. We do free public lectures. And we invite anyone to come. And we've gotten skeptics who come, and they think that they're going to sort of, like, trip us up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our director, Dave Giuliano, one of his favorite expressions is just to tell people, look, until we are able to do, like, Ghostbusters, you know, get that ghost in a jar and hold that jar up for public scrutiny, you know, all we can give you is the information that we've collected over the years, what we've found to be true and accurate, and hope that you will look at this evidence with an open mind.
Right.
And it's really not our job to make you believe. It's
right.
Just our job to show you that this is evidence of what we collected, and we hope
and
that you will look at it that way.
Exactly. And that's basically Terror Chat's philosophy, is it's not my job to convince you. I will bring it to you and place it on the table, and if
exactly.
you want to, if you want to accept the information or question the information, that's fine and dandy. But have you ever felt a concern for your safety from a paranormal event? I understand some of them can get pretty aggressive.
I felt intimidated, like Eileen had said before, when she had a male entity that got right in her face and tried to intimidate her. I've had that experience where an entity was completely in my personal space and trying to intimidate me. But,
yeah.
You know, you have to realize that ghosts keep the same personality when they're dead that they had when they were alive.
Right.
So if you were just a miserable person when you were alive, you're going to be a miserable ghost. So it's not necessarily that they're threatening or dangerous. It's just that they're, you know, there's personality conflict.
So would you say that these spirits are trapped here or they are coexisting with us? And as far as they're concerned, they're within their realm. They are alive, and
are different theories, and there's also different types of, you know, quote unquote entities.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible if you had a violent or a sudden death that the spirit may not immediately realize that they're dead, and they may linger until the time comes for them to move on.
There's also other instances where, like your example with your mother, where, you know, a friend or family member just comes in to visit, just to check in on the family and see how you're doing and make sure you're okay. And there's other instances where it's not actually an active haunting, but it might be what we consider to be a residual haunting. And that's a situation where the ghost activity isn't an intelligent entity. It's actually more like a video recording of an event that just happens over and over again and plays over and over again in time. And that's where the activity is imprinted on the building or maybe the land that the building sits on. So there are different types.
So it's almost trapped in the history or the
past of
that area.
I wouldn't say trapped because that gives you the feeling that they're stuck. It's more that it's recorded like a videotape. It's just
it's like a record skipping, right.
Just like a loop.
So you can't make direct contact, but you can hear or see or visualize these things.
Exactly. You can hear, see, and visualize it, but you can't interact with it, and it can't interact with you. It just happens over and over again.
Right. It's like a movie playback. There's no consciousness behind it.
And generally, if you hear an example where someone discusses, you know, someone's in an old building, and they say this ghost comes up the hallway and walks through the wall, that's usually because 100 years ago there was a door where that wall is, and that entity is likely to be a residual where it's going over and over again in time.
I came across something like that years ago in my home area in England. There's a city called York, and the story goes that Roman centurions would walk the city walls because the actual Roman walls still exist around the inner city. And I thought, it sure does. But they actually came up with all kinds of EVP, of soldiers marching, literally marching. You could hear their feet hitting the ground, hitting the concrete. And every so often you'd see a flash of light as if somebody had undone a zip in time and then zipped it back up again real quickly. So it's fascinating stuff.
Right. I actually remember that. I know the story that you're speaking of?
Yeah, these people would walk straight into a stone wall and just keep marching away, and there would be, you would see half of the Roman soldier, and the other half would be in the concrete somewhere. It was
like the old Roman road.
On the original road, which was like 4 feet or something below what the present road is. It's amazing stuff. The idea of the paranormal definitely. You know, puts the hairs on the back of my neck, gets them all tingly, I got to tell you. I'm telling you, ladies, this will probably be the brightest house in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I think I'm sleeping with a baseball bat at my microscopic recorder. You know,
just keep the lights on.
I don't know how you can walk in there willingly. I've done some crazy things in my time, but I've been under orders, so that's the only excuse I've had.
Well, you know, it's funny because I get more spooked at a movie, and I'll leave the lights on that night if I watch a scary movie. But going into a building that I most likely will and have experienced a paranormal event, and I'm okay with that. It is different.
Well, No. I don't think so. with all of my training, something just tells me that, you know, Colin, you better stay the heck away from this because, you know, I'm gonna lose body fluid or something. I'm sure of it. Just scare the devil out of me. Your website is www.southjerseyghostresearch.org. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right.
And people
we actually have several redundant sites, so sjgr.org, hauntedhelp.org. That all brings you to South Jersey Coast Research.
That's actually how we found you on the Haunted House. That was the website we were given originally.
Haunted Help.
Haunted Help,
right.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, Haunted Help. That was the website we were given originally from a buddy of ours over at Fox Broadcasting. And we went in search there, and that's where we started, and thank goodness we found all of you, I'll tell you. We're into 5 minutes to the end of the one-hour show. It's hard to believe that 1 hour has passed already.
You are listening to Tarot Chat.
You are listening to Terra Chat, and one more call out on the phone number.
347, phone number 324-3287. Area code 347-324-3287.
Do you have ghosts? Have you seen shadows? Do you sense a presence in the area of your world? We shall examine the possibilities of a dimensional shift and the paranormal in our premiere show, What Goes Bump in the Night.
And as we come into the final 4 minutes, I see that one caller has lit up on 732 prefix. Good evening and welcome. You are on the air with Terra Chat, Things That Go Bump in the Night, and the South Jersey Ghost Research Group. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you.
And who would I be speaking to? What's your first name?
My name is Carla.
Carla, it's good to see you, good to hear you. Would you have a question for our group by any chance?
I do. I had a little difficulty hearing until I made the call, and now I can hear you more clearly, so I'm not sure if this question was addressed. But the question is this. Is there ever a time when you do help a soul or help an entity cross over to the other side? I have had some of those experiences myself where I've been able to help in that crossing. So I'd like to know if your company, your association, ever does that kind of work.
We have had some certain experiences where we actually can try to prod the spirit to move on. We can't guarantee it, though. Again, like Ross said, that this we are dealing with spirits who have free will, just as we have free will in our life, we have free will afterlife. But what we usually try to do is make the environment, we might change the environment. So one good example is you might have a family who they never open their windows, they have no natural light, they have no plants, they have no like life inside of their home other than
have
just
you been, have
themselves.
You been looking at my, have you been looking at my webcam, Maureen?
You might want to pay attention to this, then. And what we do is we come in and we say, here you have a conflict of personality between what the family, the dynamic of the family against the spirit. And if you change the environment and make it like less friendly for the spirit to be in, that sort of like prompts them to move on because it becomes uncomfortable for them to be in that space now. And you make it your own, just like when you go to visit someone's house, you know, you can tell it's not your space. So it's the same kind of thing. You claim your space, you make it your own, and we tell people, open up your windows, let natural light in, bring in some plants, make it a little bit more of your own. And that seems to help.
Yes, about that. But as we move into the final minute, thank you for your phone call. That was fabulous. We will be closing up shop here in about 48 seconds. Ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for attending tonight.
Thank you
for having us.
We're going to have you again. And as soon as I get over the shivers and shakes here, then I'll be contacting you, Maureen, and we'll definitely set up this for another chat. Thank you again for your time. I do appreciate you being around, and you're doing great work. As we enter the final 30 seconds of the show.
There is nothing wrong with your internet connection.
There is nothing wrong with your software.
This is TerraChat's Thinking Outside the Box.
And we are thinking outside of the box. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, it's been an absolute pleasure. We will be doing a show March the 1st up on the news section, which will be a little bit of a tussle of the politics areas that we delve into. But in the meantime, in between time, it's been an absolute pleasure. My name is Guru Nostra, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We shall talk to you again at another time. In the meantime, in between time, that's it, that's all. Another edition of Terra Chat, Thinking Outside of the Box.
have ghosts? Have you seen shadows? Do you sense a presence in areas of your world? We shall examine the possibilities of a dimensional shifts and the paranormal in our premiere show, What Goes Bump in the Night?